sports litigator for Becker and Polyakov in Fort Lauderdale. Please welcome to the program, Mr. Daniel Wallach. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dean. I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, this was a stinging rebuke for Roger Goodell, and I think this may very well be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
So, do you think I have a future in sports litigation then?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to leave your spot for my spot, I'd gladly slide into that chair. I would love to do that. So let's try a job share for a couple of months, see how it works out.
Well, yeah.
So I think you'd be better at my job than I'll be at yours.
Sure. I highly doubt that, sir. And it's much nicer in Fort Lauderdale in February. But listen, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Not just a stinging review by Judge Berman, but really an unmitigated disaster, not just for the NFL, but like if you want to talk about someone whose legs were already cut out from underneath him, and then just to throw dirt on the pile on top of it, the embarrassment for Roger Goodell in this situation is astronomical, is it not?
Oh, completely. He had a chance. The NFL had a chance to settle this case after August 19th. On that date, Judge Berman conducted a court hearing, which was a scathing attack on the NFL's legal position. It went from pillar to post for about 90 minutes. He told them right then and there that they were going to lose. Why didn't the NFL settle that case to save face, shave the suspension down to one or two games, and avoid this horrible decision from their perspective, which will live on for years and years? And when it gets affirmed by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, it will bind judges all over the Southern District of New York and will have greater precedential effect in other states where the NFL is sued or brings a lawsuit. They had a chance to bury this, and now the bus has left the station. This is going to be devastating for the NFL in future disciplinary cases.
Daniel, help me understand this too. When it comes to process and due diligence, and I do understand that the collective bargaining agreement between the NFLPA and the NFL basically gives Roger Goodell unmitigated power. I mean, he could do whatever he wants, but you know, when it comes to being able to do whatever you want, in some situations, I would imagine now, if it's completely unfair, for a lack of a better term, if it's unfair and it's unfounded, and smarter minds say it is, what does that collective bargaining agreement actually mean?
Well, the collective bargaining agreement does give Roger Goodell broad powers, but they're not limitless powers. Roger Goodell and the NFL tried to suspend or discipline Tom Brady based upon policies and rules that were outside of the collective bargaining agreement, such as the game operations policy, the competitive integrity policy. Ted Wells conducted his investigation pursuant to the competitive integrity policy, which is applicable only to the team officials and to the teams themselves. And then after, by the time it got to Roger Goodell's desk, it became a suspension pursuant to his broad conduct detrimental powers.
But he, Daniel, would someone not
bargaining agreement?
But would someone not have told him that you can't do that? Like, it's something you're surrounded by pretty smart people, the best money can apparently buy, and he himself a lawyer, and he's been around the game, and he's a commissioner. He understands. Would he or someone, anybody, say, hey, listen, Roger, you can't do that?
I don't think so, because the NFL has been all along the investigator, the judge, the jury, the appellate judge, the executioner. And when they have all of that power to themselves, they can't do any wrong in their minds. And they're unbeaten in their own court, but they're winless in a federal court. And that's the difference. With so much power, it corrupted them, and they've wielded it as a bully club. The NFL had a desired result in mind way before Roger Goodell ever upheld the suspension. Every action, every step, every decision was designed to hang a suspension on Tom Brady. This was far from a searing search for the truth. It was a preordained result. The league hired one of their own attorneys to conduct a quote unquote independent investigation, which was far from independent. And the NFL has pretty much done whatever it wants with these players, treated them like chattel, like cattle. But players have rights too, and Article 46 does not immunize the NFL and Commissioner Goodell from due process and from fundamental fairness. And they got called on it. In the last four cases that have ended up in federal courts, the league has lost. This should be a wake-up call.
Now, Daniel, you know, you talk about, so Dean Blundell probably wouldn't switch jobs with you, but you're saying he could work at the NFL office now, and so could I guess, as far as a legal counsel goes. I'm curious, your first line a little bit, intimating that this could be the beginning of the end for Roger Goodell. I mean, I look at it, it's one thing when Al Davis was the Maverick owner and the pain in the ass for, you know, Roselle and Tagliabue that way. But Robert Kraft is the guy that was there that bargained on behalf of the owners for the last collective bargaining agreement. And now if he's publicly gone south about what's going on with Goodell, I have to wonder, do you think the wheels may be in motion that way with some owners, even though publicly they will support the commissioner?
I agree with that. I'll put it to you this way. Could you see Roger Goodell spearheading the negotiations with the players' union when the CBA is up in a couple of years? Are there any set of circumstances where that could conceivably happen? It's not viable. It will never happen. The question about Roger Goodell is not, will he lose his job, but when he will go. He's proven to be the most unpopular commissioner in the history of professional sports, probably 5 years after he was lauded as being one of the most effective commissioners. No commissioner has ever seen his star dim as quickly as Roger Goodell. And under no set of circumstances can he be the guy leading the negotiations with the players in 4 or 5 years. I think the time is now to get rid of them. They need some fresh voices, not only in the commissioner's seat, but maybe on the management council, because either he's getting bad advice or the people on the table are just tone deaf. New voices are needed, and the NFL can't keep going down this path. Its brand is football, not litigation.
Daniel Wallach from Becker and Polyakov, sports litigator, my apologies, joins us to kind of break down the entire disaster, the NFL's disaster, Roger Goodell's disaster, Tom Brady's suspension lifted.
I think that would take hours to break down the disaster.
Well, you're doing
sweeping.
This is why I can't do your job, because you're doing an excellent job of breaking it down in a 10-cent tour. The appeal. So Roger Goodell in the NFL released a statement saying they respectfully disagree, which is almost like saying something is blue and everybody else says it's blue and the one guy in the room says, actually, I disagree. I think it's black. So what happens for me? What's that? What happens?
It's a politically correct thing to say. I mean, the NFL can't be overly critical of a federal judge. I mean, there's a certain civility involved in saying you respectfully disagree. All losing parties say that. That's code for you got it wrong, and we're going to get you overturned.
Which is unbelievable that train continues to chug down that track. But whatever. But my question is this, Daniel: when we get to this appeal. The appeal process and what happens, because I would love, as I'm sure everybody else would be, for this just to be over. So what happens with the appeal next?
Well, I'd like this to go on forever. I can't get enough of this. But what happens next is the appellate lawyers take over. This is not nearly going to be as exciting as the proceedings before Judge Berman, with in-court theatrics and questioning. There'll be legal arguments filed, and the average time for an appeal is 10 months. So there probably won't be much activity between now and next spring, and the next major event in the case will probably be oral argument before the Second Circuit sometime in the early to late spring, and a decision by the summer. This is going to be far less exciting than what took place at the district court level. But as far as the NFL's chances on appeal, I think they're quite low, from 5% to maybe zero. And the reason is, statistically, in the Second Circuit, there are reversals of civil cases only 7% of the time. So over 90% of district court decisions that go up to the Second Circuit are affirmed on appeal. So the NFL has that to deal with. But more importantly, I believe Judge Berman's decision is bulletproof. It is not. He did not wade into areas that he shouldn't have. He did not try to reweigh the evidence or engage in fact-finding, which are solely the province of the arbitrator. His decision was centered entirely around due process, fairness, the improper exclusion of Jeffrey Pash as a trial witness, the improper exclusion of the investigative notes. Those issues go directly to the notion of process, fairness, and justice. And they're going to be extremely difficult to overturn on appeal. I mean, an arbitration is like a trial. A party like Tom Brady was entitled to be able to put on his own case, to defend the charges against him, to confront and cross-examine the investigators who brought these charges against him. And Jeffrey Pash had a protective bubble placed around him for the entirety of the arbitration. And there's no way that that gets overturned on appeal as to that aspect of it.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point. It was he really not judging anything to do with deflated footballs or broken cell phones. It was the legality of the NFL's investigatory and disciplinary procedures, really. Yeah, and how basically Roger Goodell did something that bordered on illegal.
Correct. I mean, just as with the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, and some of the other cases, the NFL had practically a guilty party in its crosshairs, and it messed it up. You know, took a misdemeanor and made it into a capital offense. And as with the other cases, it's all about process. And Judge Berman's decision focused entirely on the process and the fundamental fairness issues that are going to be difficult for an appellate court to reverse on. When federal judges review arbitration awards, the one thing they're not allowed to do is engage in fact-finding or question the arbitrator's factual findings. And Berman didn't go there at all. So I believe his decision is bulletproof. Mm-hmm. And whether some parts of it may be questioned or overturned by the Second Circuit, there's enough other parts of his decision that will sustain the ultimate end result, which is Tom Brady will never, ever have to face suspension for Deflategate.
Behind closed doors, is Roger Goodell and his minions in the NFL, are they just thoroughly embarrassed?
Of course, of course. I think his legal team must be battle scarred. I did a search in the federal court, docket. The NFL has been a party to over 600 separate lawsuits since the beginning of 2014. They are constantly in litigation, constantly fighting it out with the players, and I believe the NFL has to change its attitude towards how it manages player relations. It treats these deals as like a zero sum game. It has to win at everything at all costs. It has to get its way. And I think the league needs to return to a gentler approach towards dealing with its players, because the brand of the NFL is the players. The greatest asset of the league is its players, and the league is spending far too much time in the headlines over lawsuits and unmitigated attacks on its own assets that I think it undermines the game, undermines the integrity of the game, and it diminishes the league relative to some of the other sports. You don't read about these problems with the NBA, certainly don't read about them with Major League Baseball recently. Other than A-Rod, I think the NFL needs new leadership, and the focus needs to get back on the game itself. And this lawsuit, this decision, if it has the desired effect, I think the NFL will literally interpret the collective bargaining agreement. And going forward, you won't see so much of the high-handedness and heavy-handedness in treating the CBA as this magic wand that gives Roger Goodell broad, unmitigated powers to do whatever he wants. It is a document that is a contract, and the contract has to be interpreted according to its plain language, and nothing outside of the collective bargaining agreement can be used to discipline players. Mm. If it's not collectively bargained, it's off the table for discipline.
Listen, wonderful to talk to you. Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much for not just talking about it passionately. I think you bring up a great point. You know, if they spent less time trying to stop Will Smith movies from coming out and more time trying to be fair and do the judicious thing, I think it'd be probably a much friendlier league, and we wouldn't be beating them up today.
Agreed. But, you know, they won't be able to help themselves. They're going to fight until the end of the earth, until the Supreme Court of Mars tells them that they're wrong. So even today, I don't think the NFL is chastened at all by the decision. I think they feel a sense of outrage that Berman got it wrong and that they're going to win on appeal. So it may be quite a while before the NFL changes its tactics.
Appreciate your time, Daniel Wallach, sports litigator, Becker and Polyakov down in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks so much for doing this. Hopefully we can catch up with you again.
My pleasure, Dean. Thank you, Gord.